Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Our next guest is on the line. He's been by our studio many times on his several visits to Philadelphia.
One of our favorites.
He loves playing here, and he is metal through and through. So much so that he's got some members of Anthrax and other metal acts on board for his new comedy metal album called Grandpa Metal. Please welcome Brian Posehn to the show this morning. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you surviving with all that's going on in the world right now?
Oh, it's super weird. Like, I canceled all my, you know, I didn't, but, you know, the clubs have canceled my stand-up for the next month and a half, so.
Yeah, you were scheduled to be in Philly mid-April. Is that on, that's put on the back burner for now?
That one hasn't moved yet.
Okay.
I'm hoping I can still get out there. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, nobody knows. But one thing to know is eventually this will pass. So people, you know, obviously everything within the next couple months is going to be fluid. But on the other side of that, there are things and you know, everything will survive by everyone. You know, once we know we're safe and getting out and doing what we need to do by supporting going out to shows and going out to dinner when it's reasonable and right and when we're given the go ahead. So this will pass. But in the interim, there's great new comedy metal to listen to.
And I guess I was prepared for this. I didn't know I was preparing for this. I took 6 years making this record.
I love
I'm
that
glad
you
it came out now.
I love that you call it the Chinese democracy of comedy metal albums.
Yes, absolutely. But I didn't spend $13 million to make it. Like
right, right. Man, I forgot who I saw, Brian. You know, going with the title Grandpa Metal, it may have been Sam Kinison or somebody way back in the day who was poking fun at the future of metal when these guys get older. And, you know, with Ozzy now, we're living it. I mean, these guys are still going out and they're still doing their thing and I'm rocking. But if you look at the old video of when they were in their prime and how things are now, you know, shelf life is kind of interesting on performing heavy metal music live, you know?
Right. Well, and it's really commenting on, like, the fans, because the song is about Scott Ian, my buddy.
Right.
But he's, you know, he's loved heavy metal his whole life, but he hasn't really liked any new bands in a long time. Like, he's crusty. He's, like, the last new band he checked out was The Refused, which is late 90s.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
he's one of those guys. So it was really the title is making fun of him, but it's also making fun of myself and guys my age. That it's mostly from the fan perspective of guys that you know, haven't grown up and they still like this music, but then they don't like the new stuff.
Well, they're
crusty old men.
You still embrace, you know, some new stuff, but I know what you kind of pick your area and you lock and load a little bit. You're a massive you're a massive Rush fan.
I mean, I check out new music, but some of the other grandpa metals I know don't.
Do you find it's sort of I found that most, it seems that, you know, most of the heavy metal artists that we have come through here are rockers in general, or real, you know, straight up rockers, have a pretty good sense of humor. But sometimes people get a little protective if they sense someone's making fun a little bit of the music. Did you get any of that?
I haven't, because I think at this point I've established myself enough as a fan to other fans that they know that's my thing, that I love this music. But I also, you know, on my comedy records, on my stand-up records, I was always doing like one or two songs because I was on the label Relapse.
Right.
So I've done this for a while. You know, my first comedy metal song was like 16 years ago at this point. Metal by Numbers, and then More Metal Than You was like 10 years ago. So I've shown, I think, the metalheads that, you know, I'm one of them. I think, you know, so I get a pass.
You've got the cred. You know, I'm sure, and I know that you got a lot of the people you had on your wish list for guests on the album, but did anyone elude you?
Only the big fish. I didn't get a dude from Metallica. That's the next goal. You know, if I do the next record, I'll get somebody from Metallica on it.
I have to imagine they're fans of yours. It was just a timing thing?
Just a timing thing, yeah. We were trying to get Kirk Hammett, and he's really good friends with Scott. I wanted him to do the solo on the song about Scott Ian. I wanted him to be on the title track on Grandpa Metal. And I tried a couple of times, and they were out touring, and then the record was about to be, you know, it was way overdue, actually. So I just said, no, I'm filling this. And I had talked to Kim Thayil from Soundgarden, so getting him on the track, I was like, that's good enough.
Yeah, no, that's damn good.
So you got Kim Thayil, you got Scotty, and who are some of the other names we might know?
Oh, I mean, well, there's Corey Taylor from Slipknot.
Yes.
Is on the What the Fox Say song, like, you know, like a song you wouldn't expect him to be on. And there's guys from Steel Panther. I did a sketch with Weird Al. There's my friend from Huntress. There's Testament, Exodus.
Wow.
All the, like, area bands that I liked. I've got guys representing those bands. Bumblefoot is that insane guitar player from Guns N' Roses.
Yep. You know what I liked? What stood out in particular to me is the take on Me.
Nice.
It's real. That's always been a guilty pleasure song of mine. But the song works. It works that way.
Well, that's what I was going for. I mean, I feel the same way about that song. I always had it on my iPod, and my wife would go, why do you even have this? Don't you hate this? No, it's too catchy. And then I got away with saying, now I'm covering it, so I'm doing research. Then the cover, you know, I always pictured it as just doing an epic metal cover of that song. And I've said before that, like, any song is better if you make it heavy metal, and I feel like I proved my point that I did a better version of that song by making it metal.
It kicks ass, and then so you do a take on Muskrat Love called Goblin Love.
Oh my god!
And I love this concept. So
I'm glad you caught that. Like, not everybody has caught the Muskrat Love thing, but that was totally what I was going for. Just black metal, you know, just making it. The music sounds really messed up, and then there's, you know, it's about two goblins falling in love, which isn't a common theme for a song. But
yeah, Muskrat Love is one of the most bizarre hits at a time where you would get these bizarre hits, you know, Captain and Tennille, and it was I despise that song, and yet bizarrely, you know, was attracted to it for some reason because it was basically two muskrats getting it on and
but I had it on a weird K-Tel record and I had gotten the K-Tel record because it had that Who song, which is also a weird song, the Squeeze Box.
Yes.
So I had it, which is such a weird song for them too. So I had this record that had Squeeze Box and Muskrat Love as a kid, and it stuck somewhere in my brain.
Brian, I forgot that those K-Tel records, it was always just one song that you wanted to get on the album, and then the record companies threw all the crap that
you didn't care about.
Yeah, exactly.
That they had to move product somehow or another.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So what's the potential of live shows, eventually when live shows come back around, of you doing a Grandpa Metal performance with some of these guys?
Well, that's the thing. Now we can work on scheduling that. I had a calendar full of stand up we had talked. Scott Ian and I had done a show. We did the Megadeth cruise a couple months back when people were still going on cruises. Right. Although our government wants us to go on cruises, that sounds terrifying right now.
Cruises were always dicey, you know, but at least you got to figure
it. Food, and you're always. I went on a cruise with diarrhea, and then I got double diarrhea.
Yeah, I mean, was that norovirus? That was
a cruise with diarrhea, and I was like, "Oh, I can't help it."
But you sort of.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do is do, like, he and I will both do spoken word, and then we'll go up like a half hour each.
Yeah.
He's done that before. He's got a couple of books out now, so he's been touring even in Europe and here, where he goes up and tells stories. And then I would go up and tell stories, and then we'd end it by playing a couple of songs. And we've talked about going out with another, like, rock crossover comedy guy like Chris Jericho or somebody like that.
He's great. He's great.
Where we would all tell stories and then at the end of the night go out and play some music.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you love. And I know people, you know, fans respond to that. And, you know, again, like you say, you do have cred within this world.
Yeah.
And so you can make a show out of it. I wanted to ask you on another note. We did mention Rush and the death of Neil Peart. Did you lock into full Rush mode when that happened?
Oh, yeah. I was on my own. I was shooting a thing out in New York and... That was brutal. I had just lost my mom a month before, and then I lost one of my favorite musicians of all time. Like somebody, literally, I wanted him to be my uncle when I was in high school because Rush just was one of my saviors. And yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah. It's funny because Preston has this. Preston, tell him the story about you thought you made eye contact with Neil.
My God. It was at the Grace Under Pressure concert. I had second row seats. I was 16 years old. I'm sitting in the watching Neil. I was straight between his two bass drums. I had center seats. And I was 16, you know, and so somebody next to me passes a joint. I'm sitting there. I'm taking a big hit off of it. And I look up and Neil is looking directly into my eyes. And I'm like, I've shamed him. He's seen a teenager smoking weed at his concert. All the shame. And I hung my head. The dude didn't even see me.
Bangkok, the guy smoked.
No, I know. But I'm a teenager, you know, and I'm like youth of America and everything.
Yeah.
But of course, he didn't see me. He was looking into the crowd. I've drugged that around with me for the rest of life.
Pass it if he did see it.
He wanted it.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Hey, I wanted to bring up the Mandalorian. You were on the first episode of that. How did that come about? That show took off. We love it. How did you end up in the cast of the first episode?
Man, I've been so lucky with the acting stuff, and then I'm hoping somebody saves my butt after this this weird thing that we're going through and puts me back to work. But most of the stuff I've gotten in my life has just, or in acting jobs, has just been handed to me, and that was one of those where
wow.
I didn't audition. I never thought that I would ever be in Star Wars or a part of Star Wars ever. And then my manager just called me one day and said, hey, they're shooting this thing. He had a fake name for it. I can't remember what the fake name was because I did another show last year that had a fake name. You know, they do that to hide it when
sure.
they're shooting things around town. And he goes, but it's really this. And it's Star Wars, and it's the new thing they're doing. And I go, wait a second, is it the TV show? And he goes, yeah. And I go, is Jon Favreau directing it? And he goes, let me look. And then he goes, yep. And I go, oh, my God. I mean, I knew exactly what it was. And I was like, oh, that's the Mandalorian project. And he's like, yeah, we're not. Yeah, that's it. And I was like, dude, we're doing it. I'm doing it. Like, it didn't even matter. Like, if they just paid me in craft service, I would.
just the food would have been. You're now in part of the lore. And I think you feel the same way I do. The newer movies have been good. But of the newer cluster, I think my favorite of the collection so far has been Rogue One. Where do you stand on this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rogue One is my favorite, although as my son always points out, everyone dies.
It's true.
But that's what makes it different than the others. It really, you know, it was real sacrifice.
After Rogue One, I walked by his room, and he had some new figures that I had bought him from Rogue One. Because if you're my kid, you lucked out, because you're going to get anything nerdy that you ever wanted.
Right.
Well, maybe not so much. Yeah. But any toy, you know, I've helped him out, and he's playing with these figures from Rogue One, and he goes, "Daddy, all these guys are dead." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right."
I love it, and that's part of the deal. Let me ask you one,
because it sets up everything else, and it's so good. It was so well cast.
It's brilliant. And in those last moments when you realize, Jesus Christ, this is just seconds away from starting off the entire Star Wars lore.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But then outside of that, yeah, you're right. Mandalorian is not second best, but up there with it.
Phenomenal.
I love Mandalorian. I love how it turned out. And to be a part of it, like to be canon already in Star Wars. But to be
canon. I love it.
No.
Like. It's pretty cool.
You impress us as a very cool dad, obviously, and you have all the nerdy stuff. Is there something pop culture that you refuse to accommodate your kids with? Where you just say, no, I can't indulge that part of pop culture or sci-fi lore or anything. Is there something you say no?
No, I mean, there were things that I wasn't that familiar with just because they weren't from my time.
Right.
You know, Power Rangers came after I was into nerdy stuff. Well, I mean, it was not for my time, not for my generation, really. It was the generation after me. And it's super cheesy, and it's kind of borderline terrible, and the acting is, you know, like...
You're right. But it does have some flashbacks
with,
of...
With no unions or whatever.
right.
To watch. But my kid loves it. So, not right now, which I'm glad. But that was one of the ones where I was just like, why do you like this?
Yeah. But if you think back of, like, Ultraman and stuff...
Transformations would take, like, when somebody would, like... form of, and it's like, man, you're going to get killed because if it takes that long to turn into the creature you're trying to turn into.
Yes.
It's a ridiculous show.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's the one.
All right.
But then I also tried not to ruin it for him when he was watching it. Like, I'd start to be critical. You know, I even let him watch, you know, the prequels, and I was, vehement in my act saying that, my son, that the prequels weren't even going to be allowed in the house. And, you know, once it came down to it, I dropped my, my wall.
Yeah, you give for the kid. I get it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we'll keep an eye on those dates, Brian, with you coming in town. And maybe by then we'll be ready to have some visitors by.
Yeah,
and if so, you're certainly welcome to.
Oh, it might move to the summer. The week after I was supposed to be in Philly was San Francisco, and that's already moved to the summer. So
okay. Well,
who knows? We'll see what happens.
We'll get there. We'll
I'm
get
sure we'll
there.
See you this year. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, my man. We'll tell people
Thanks
about
for always promoting me. I really
Grandpa
appreciate
Metal.
It.
Hey, it's best. Our pleasure. We're big fans. Thanks for coming on. Brian Posehn, guys.
Yeah.
Have a good one. This is his version of Take On Me, by the way.
Talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today's another day.
That big metal vibrato. That's awesome.
Nice. Get a whole lot more Preston and Steve at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.